Now turn for our scripture reading to the book of Numbers and the 18th chapter. The book of Numbers, chapter 18. Now, week by week, ministry of God's word, we arrive now in the chapter 18 of the book of Numbers. Commencing reading at the verse 1. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear the word of the living God. And the Lord said unto Aaron, Thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood, and thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness, and they shall keep thy charge, and the charge of all the tabernacle, only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, and neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, for all the service of the tabernacle. And a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. And ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary, and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel to you. They are given as a gift for the Lord, to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place thou shalt eat it, every male shall eat it, it shall be holy unto thee, and this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel, I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it, all the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Every thing that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beasts, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beasts shalt thou redeem, and those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem, according to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shalt burn their fat for an offering made by fire, for a sweet savour unto the Lord. And the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast, and as the right shoulder of thine. All the heave offerings of the holy things, which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord, have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever, before the Lord unto thee, and to thy seed with thee. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part, and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, have I given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, When ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye also shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which you receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof, out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, When ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it, when ye have heaved from it the best of it. Neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. Amen. This is the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant and precious word. And may the Lord add his own blessing to that public reading of his word. The glory of his name and to the everlasting good of our never dying souls. I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words that were read in your hearing there in the book of Numbers and the chapter 18. Week by week for many Lord's days now, we have been going through the book of Numbers. Before that, we went through the book of Genesis and we spent a good number of years there, and then we went through the book of Exodus and spent a number of years there, and now we have been engaged in the book of Numbers as we consider the life not only of Moses but of the people of Israel as they are making their passage on the way to the promised land. In the evenings, as you know, it's always a gospel sermon, but we also always seek to preach the gospel, bring in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't think you can escape the gospel in the Old Testament at all. Certainly, we ought to see Christ in all the scriptures as he expounded himself to the saints that were there on the way to Emmaus, as he preached himself, as they were downcast. He opened up the scriptures concerning himself in the Psalms, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms. And we must see Christ. We must be as the Greeks who went into the temple and said, we would see Jesus. And friends, we would be blind not to see Christ in the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul, we have learnt from our studies in Hebrews from time to time, examining these things of the Old Testament, these things are shadows of things to come, pictures of the true, as the apostle says. All these things are types, they are shadows, pointing to the great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle, the priestly office of Aaron, all of these things foreshadow the very great work of the great high priest that we have in heaven. In fact, that title is given our Lord Jesus Christ in the book, the epistle, to the Hebrews. We have a high priest in heaven. Yes, we need a priest We need an intercessor. We need one to intercede for us by the merits of his own righteous life and by his shed blood for sinners. There is a mercy seat, and it is Christ that sits upon the mercy seat. The Apostle Paul makes that very clear in the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament. Now, continuing in our week-by-week ministry here through the book of Numbers, we arrive in the chapter 18, but we must reflect, first of all, on the very last chapter that we looked at, and that was last Lord's Day. Remember after the rebellion of Korah in the chapter 16, where Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and there were 250 princes, well, they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. They wanted that leadership that Moses had been given by God, and they wanted that priestly office, that priestly service that was given to Aaron. The Lord had given those particular offices, and they wouldn't submit to Aaron. And so the Lord's judgment came down, and we know what happened. The tents of Korah and all their families, and that of Dathan and Abiram, and the 250. Well, the 250 were consumed by fire from heaven, and the tents of Dathan, Abiram, and Korah, they were swallowed up. The Lord opened up the ground, and they were taken alive down to an early grave. It's a fearful thing, friends, to fall into the hands of the living God. God is holy. He has a way in which we must approach to him, and that is through one great high priest, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God says there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And all these things are pointing to the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the chapter that followed, the chapter that we looked at last week, Numbers chapter 17, the Lord gave a further sign to show that Aaron had been appointed by God as the only high priest and as the credible high priest. What happened was God spoke to Moses and he said that each one of the 12 tribes had to bring a stick, a rod, and the princes of those tribes had to put their names on those rods. And remember the rod, the stick would have been alive at one time, part of a tree, hewn, all the branches cut off. That rod could be used as a staff or a walking stick. So all these tribes with their princes' names upon them appear. And then Aaron's name would go upon the rod of Levi. And those rods were to be laid up in the very Holy of Holies before the Ark of the Covenant, before the Ark of the Testimony there. Aaron's rod included. So 12 rods, we read, were laid up. In the verse 5 of chapter 17, we are told that the rod that would bud, really the rod that would come to life and bear fruit, would be the rod of the man who God had appointed to be the high priest. And so those rods were laid up overnight there where nobody could see. Moses couldn't be accused of tampering or cheating or anything like that. And lo and behold, in the morning, each one of those rods were brought out one by one. Last of all, Aaron's rod came forth. As those first rods, the 11, came out, they looked no different to when they were brought in. They were all dead, no life in them. But when Aaron's rod came forth, we read that it blossomed, that it budded. And the Hebrew word there for almond, the root of that word, means awake. And there's a picture. There's a picture there truly of the Lord Jesus Christ. All those other sticks were dead, but this stick was laid up. As Christ, was he not laid up in the tomb himself? In the morning he arose. And he, as the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, was seen of over 500 men at once. His resurrection. That stick was alive. It came forth and it budded. And so thus, you see, first of all, by demonstration of God's power there, Aaron's office was vindicated. Aaron himself was vindicated in that office. He was rejected of men. And in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of men, put to death. But he rose and he is alive forevermore, and he ever lives to intercede, as the apostle tells us in Hebrews, to intercede as the great high priest, just as Aaron was a great high priest. But Christ, the everlasting one for his people, is now laid up in heaven, seated at the right hand of the majesty of God. And you notice in that chapter 17 and the verse 10, all this was done to stop the murmuring, that they murmur not and die not. Oh, they need a high priest. And everyone in this world needs a high priest. Why? Because we're sinners. Aaron would take in blood, wouldn't he? Take in blood to the Holy of Holies and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat for the people. It was a type, it was a picture of that which was to come, where the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in the Epistle to the Hebrews, would enter in through the veil, that is, through his flesh, says the apostle. And he has appeared and gone in and presented himself, he the sacrifice, as well as the priest. And he now ever lives to intercede for his people. We thank the Lord, don't we, for that mercy, for that shed blood in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here we are in the Old Testament. These things of the types, the shadows. And what has happened? These people have sinned, haven't they? And they are spending now some 38 years after their two-year period before getting to Kadesh Barnea. They now got to spend 38 years in the wilderness for their failure to enter into the promised land when God said that they should enter. Remember, they were consigned to death, to die in the wilderness. Every man aged 20 and over was going to die because of his sin, not to go into the land. They are dying because of their sin. And so we find, notice in the verse 12, and the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. And then they say, whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? Now, again, I mentioned, we face two solemn truths here. They are dying because of their sin. This is a picture of us all, isn't it? The wages of sin, says the apostle in Romans, is death. The wages of sin is death. And we're all dying because of original sin and our own sin. They're dying because of their refusal to go into the land which God had promised. They believed the 10 evil spies, the evil report of those spies. Just think of it. We know that in the next two chapters, they're going to go into the promised land. So they must be coming very near now to the end of their 38-year period. Every man aged 20 and over was going to die because of his sin, not to go into the land. God had shown them by mighty signs, wonders, and powers that he is God and that he is to be believed. But they refused. And you think of it, this 38-year period is more than likely drawing up now to an end. And many of them, especially the younger men, some of them age perhaps 58 years old, they know that this 38-year period is going to end. But it's going to end in their death first. Solemn, isn't it? They're going to die. The others will go into the land, but they will die soon. We perish, we die, we all perish. How solemn this is. Many of them knew they had very few days left. It was like being on a death row. But secondly, they also say, whosoever, verse 13, cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? Well, they see they have no hope. But the way has been clear, hasn't it? There's a high priest. We perish, we die. Yes, but there's a high priest. Yes, they can enter into the courts of the Lord with joy and thanksgiving, as we do, but not into the holy place, and most certainly not into the Holy of Holies. There's a high priest. Now, this is something that, for some reason, they are struggling or just do not want to come to terms with. It's like sinners today. We say to people, God is holy, and that you need a mediator. This, you see, is the central message, isn't it, of the Bible, that all have sinned and come short of God's glory, and there is only one who has access to God the Father, and that is Jesus Christ the righteous. who is the great high priest. And it is my prayer that sinners here will realize that today there is a Saviour, and only He can bring sinners into the presence of God. Or else we'd be like the 250 princes, sons of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, all refusing the priesthood of Aaron. Remember how they drew near with their senses, and yet they were consumed. My dear friends, none of us can stand on that great and awesome day before Almighty God without the blood of the Lamb, and that is Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the great high priest. None of us will be lost forever. That's our hope. Those people were ignoring the priesthood of Aaron, Aaron foreshadowing the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they must know, they must understand how to approach a holy God. And that is the most important thing of the Bible. The Bible is telling us from cover to cover, from the fall there in Genesis, God is holy, but there is a Redeemer. And that's a wonderful message of the Bible, that although God is holy, high in the heavens, separate, there is one by whom we may have access, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's no doubt that after this rebellion, the rebellion of Korah, there was still pride, wasn't there, in the hearts of people. And you know, there will be people that sit in churches, they'll be very proud, and they think that they can have access to God by their charitable works, by their good deeds, and whatever. None of those things, friends, will stand us in any merit before God. Nothing whatsoever but the blood of Christ alone. The message of the Bible is very simple, isn't it? God is holy, and therefore we as sinners are separate from God. Isaiah tells us that our sins have made a separation between us and our God, that He will not hear us. He dwells in unapproachable light. God, who is holy, who is different. And so the resounding message of the Word of God is this: we need a Redeemer. We need the great high priest. You see, they had failed to honor Aaron in his office. Again, Aaron is just a man, but he serves as a picture, as a type. And the Levitical priesthood here serves as a type of ministry in the New Testament. There are New Testament ministers. There are no more priests in the church. And the scriptures say in Ephesians 4, when He, that is Christ, led captivity captive, He gave gifts unto men. And some He called to be pastors and teachers and so on. Now, the Lord here, when we come to the chapter 18, what He does is He repeats some of the earlier instructions with regards to the support that was to be given to the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, and also the Levites. Those times that He spoke before were in Exodus 28 and 29, also in the early part of Numbers, when the work for the various sons of Levi were given, the various families within the tribe of Levi were given. And when we come to this chapter 18, the chapter may be divided in follows in three sections. In the verse 1 to 7, we have the solemn responsibility and charge given to Aaron and the Levites to keep sinners out of the tabernacle of God. Now remember, this is the sanctuary where the table and the showbread and the table of incense were. And there was another inner area, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. The very presence of God, picturing heaven itself, where there were no windows, no light, because Christ, who is the light of glory, is the light of heaven. And no sinner can go there except by the high priest. Aaron, the high priest, would have stones upon him, the stones of the tribe of Israel. And when he went in to make intercession for them, he was bearing their names, wasn't he? Oh, they may enter into the courts of the tabernacle, but not into the very tabernacle itself. And so that first section there, verse 1 to 7, illustrates the responsibility of Aaron and the Levitical priesthood, the Levites, to keep people out of the tabernacle itself. And then verse 8 to the verse 26, what we have is the financial provision to be made for the Levites and for the priests. Israel were to tithe to the Levites. And the Levites, out of their tithe that they received from Israel, were to tithe to the priests and to Aaron. That's how they were provided for. The verse 26, Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes, which I have given you from your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe, the tenth of the tithe. That is what went to the priests and to Aaron. And then lastly, we have the inheritance. Thou shall have no inheritance in their land. That is, when they went into the promised land, the Levites would have no land for themselves. While they were provided for by the people, they would have no land. Why? Because the Lord says, I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. So they could live in certain towns like Anathoth, where Jeremiah came from, but they were not to have their own land. They could live in a house, but they wouldn't own it. They wouldn't own those things. Why? Because the Lord is our inheritance. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament, in Revelation, that we as believers are priests and kings forever. And it's a reminder that we shall inherit the new heavens and the new earth. The Apostle Peter speaks of the very fact that the present element shall burn up with fervent heat, and God shall make a new heavens and a new earth. And so as we, in the spiritual sense, who are born again, are kings and priests forever, who serve the Lord now, we shall have that. That will be our inheritance. And the Lord himself, shall we not inherit glory? Shall we not inherit heaven? Now let's come and look at some of the details this morning as we begin to look at this passage. There is so much here, but I just want to cover some of the main features within this passage and not get bogged down too much in some of these offerings. First of all, notice in the verse 1, there is a word to Aaron. He is to know this. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. What does that mean? It's not saying that the sanctuary is iniquitous or that the sanctuary is sinful. It's not saying that. We need to understand the language. God comes here to Aaron and he tells him of the enormous and solemn burden that was upon him. What was required of him? Well, the danger of his office was this. He had a responsibility to keep sinners out. What is the iniquity of the sanctuary? What does it mean? Again, I say the sanctuary is not sinful. But you see, if the sanctuary were profaned, just as the sons of Korah profaned the sanctuary and the things of God, if some sinner came in, intruded into the Holy of Holies, intruded into the tabernacle, the blame should lie squarely upon Aaron. Because it was his responsibility to warn everybody, as it was the Levites. You notice it says, thou and thy sons and thy father's house. Who is Aaron's father's house? Levi. It was a responsibility of the whole of the tribe of Levi to warn Israel that God's place was a holy place. So if somebody intruded and came in, Aaron would be responsible. Now, it's the same in the New Testament, isn't it? We as ministers should warn you that God is holy. The gospel is constantly telling you, dear friends, you cannot enter God's presence on your own. I cannot. We are all as an unclean thing, and our iniquities carry us away. We need a high priest. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the responsibility of every faithful ministry to point sinners like you and I to the Lord Jesus Christ. The God of heaven hasn't changed. He remains holy. He says in Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. God remains forever holy. And no sinner may approach God on his own, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it was onerous upon Aaron. It was onerous upon the Levites, all of them. That is exactly what Korah didn't do. When you think about it, Korah was saying to the rest of Israel, and by the way, Korah was a Levite. Korah was saying to the rest of Israel, it's okay. You can come with your own censer. You can come with your own offering. Friends, we have to come through the Lord Jesus. When we pray to God, we pray through our great high priest, don't we? We offer up thanks, says the apostle, through Christ. Everything is through Christ. Do we understand that? It's vital. You read the New Testament, the old epistles, everything. Thanks must be through Christ. Prayer must be through him. Everything by our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's alive. He once laid up in that tomb, but the Father has vindicated him to be who he said he was, the mediator. Do we understand the message? And do you understand why we preach very solemnly that God is holy and that we warn about God's fire, about God's wrath, about his judgment that is to come? God is a consuming fire. We read in Hebrews 12. And it was Aaron's responsibility, as well as it was Levi's responsibility, to warn that God is holy. I was shocked, and I said it on Friday at a meeting in Suffolk. I was shocked when I recently heard a preacher say, "You'll not hear about hell from this pulpit." My dear friends, where do you think Korah went? And all those who thought they could approach God as they wished. God is holy. And if we do not have a high priest, we go to hell. We face God's wrath, his judgment. It was their solemn responsibility to guard these holy things, to warn the congregation. Korah didn't do that. And I fear that there will be many ministers who stand up in pulpits, not warn sinners that God is holy. But that is exactly where they will be, in hell. My dear friends, that's the New Testament application. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians 1:28, he says, "Christ whom we preach, warning every man." If a minister will not warn people, he is not the watchman, which Ezekiel 33 speaks of. What do we read there? "But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." My dear friends, the Apostle Paul could say, "I am free of the blood of all men." You see the responsibility, not just of Aaron, but of this entire functioning priesthood, the Levites who helped to set up the tabernacle. And so he was to warn. If he didn't warn, he would bear the iniquity. Of course, if the sinner came in and he was warned, he would be responsible for that iniquity. He would have to answer to God. He would surely die. But friends, we need to take this office seriously, warning every man. Apostle Paul said those words in light of preaching the gospel, warning every man. The same with the minister's office in the New Testament. We warn about the need of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus. Don't try to approach God on your own merits. I know the gospel is very offensive to sinners, isn't it? It tells us we're no good, tells us that we're unclean, tells us that we're unworthy, but that is true of all of us. Aaron, he had to present not his blood, but the blood of an innocent sacrifice, all pointing to the Lord Jesus. But when John saw the Lord Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Think of the weightiness of the message that was laid upon Aaron, what responsibility he had. And if he didn't warn, he was guilty. He was guilty. It's good reason, therefore, that we should never be envious of others who hold high office or any office in the church without consideration. To whom much responsibility has been given, much will be required. This is why James says not many of you ought to be masters or teachers, because much is required. And then Hebrews 13:17, "Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account." We have to give an account. I will have to stand before Almighty God. I should not fear the faces of men and their disagreements about the Bible. I could care less whether people agree with the Bible or not. Yes, we must seek to reason with people and show them the truth. But there comes a point we just have to simply warn. Now, nobody is ever saved simply by that. We know it's faith and God saves and he brings, but we must warn. The duty is incumbent upon us. Now, they had a very important role, didn't they? They were to attend the golden altar, that table of incense, the candlestick, which no Levite might approach. Here we're speaking about Aaron and his sons, the priests. And they would, as we've read in this passage, the tithes that were given, the offerings, they were to eat in that holy place. Everything that they were to do was to serve. Notice the verse 7. They are serving God in the tabernacle, and they are serving God's people. And ministers must remember that they are servants. In all that we do, we serve you. There's also, secondly, unity in the service to be given. Verse 2, and thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee. Do you know the name Levi means joined? It's quite striking, isn't it? But what has happened before? They were not so joined, were they? There was the schism of Korah, wanting to usurp this. There was not a unity. There was not this cohesion, and there was not this support of Aaron. And I think this is vital in any church ministry, that the pastor and those who lead with him should be of one mind. They should be joined together. They should be supporting in the work. Bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee, and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. So they were to be joined. And this is a responsibility, therefore, for all, isn't it? If you be given any responsibility in the church, we are to do it with one heart, one mind, and one purpose, and that is to glorify God and to support each other in prayer, prayerfully. They were called to serve Aaron. And later we're told that they're a gift to Aaron. And that's a wonderful thing for a minister to have those who come alongside him. The Apostle Paul speaks of fellow laborers in the gospel. That's how we ought to see each other. We may have different offices, different functions, but we are fellow laborers. And so this name, Levi, means joined. They should be heartily joined to Aaron. Are we heartily joined to the ministry of this church? Well, I hope so. If I'm doing something wrong, you need to tell me. Or perhaps maybe you're doing something wrong. We need to be humble enough to receive correction, instruction. Of course, we need to be questioned if we're in error. But we need to support each other, don't we, in these things. There needs to be no envy, no pride, nothing like that. This is what was lacking amongst the Levites, particularly Korah. The Holy Spirit will be grieved, won't he, in a church where that takes place. There's no worse thing, I think, for a minister to feel that he's constantly challenged or questioned. And so as we move on, it's important now to see, as I mentioned earlier, the verse 6, that the Levites were given as a gift to Aaron and his sons. And behold, I have given your brethren, this is to Aaron, the Levites from among the children of Israel, to you. They are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. They had to set it up. They had to put it all together. They were to collect the tithes from the people. And a tenth of those tithes were used to support Aaron and his sons. Also, they are to keep charge, the verse 3, and of all the tabernacle. What a responsibility they had to take care of the fabric of the tabernacle, of all the practical needs. The only thing they couldn't do, we notice, only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and of the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. You see, they would die, Aaron's sons or Aaron, if they got these Levites to be over familiar with these things. And that's our responsibility as well as ministers. The things of God are holy, and we must treat them holy. We must treat them with great weight, with gravity. So you see the responsibility of Aaron to keep the Levites out of that, lest he die. There's a balance, isn't there, in all of this. the balance that the Levites had toward Israel, the balance that Aaron has toward the Levites. So they must prayerfully watch in all of these things, preventing sin and thus preventing God's wrath. Sin has caused great damage, isn't it, in the church? Think of how over-familiar people are at church today. When we come in, the psalmist tells us God is to be held in reverence by all of them round about. You know, the way a church is, and very often is by the whole demeanor of the minister. He sets the tone, doesn't he? And those of us who are in various positions are to set the tone right. We're not here to entertain people. We're not here to please people. We've come ultimately to worship. And what unbelievers need to see in us is that there is a real God who we love, who we reverence. We want to please Him. We don't want to please the world. We want to please Him. Great damage has been done, I think, with the way, just the way services are conducted. Sadly, today, you've got clowns in the pulpits. You've got all sorts of entertainments. You've got people telling jokes. Everything is light, it's frivolous. What's it leading to? Nothing but God's wrath and God's judgment. You read in the book of the Revelation those indicting words to each of the churches. We must never think as a church that we've arrived. He says something to each of those churches, I have this against thee. But if thou overcomest, we must be constantly watching out, overcoming. We must be on guard for sin and over familiarity with God. The reason we love God is that His dear Son shed His blood for us. We love Him because He first loved us. And that love that we have for Him causes us to reverence Him, to thank Him. You see, we cannot begin to truly worship God until we know the love of God. We cannot truly fear God until we know that mercy. The psalmist says, there is mercy with the Lord that He may be feared. When we know the mercy of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, until we know that mercy, we truly won't reverence Him as we ought. But see how now the people must reverence. Blood must be shed. We cannot approach God how we wish, how we want. God has told us how we are to worship Him. He has appointed the means, coming through His Son, the reading of His Word, prayer coming through His Son, and in everything giving thanks through the Lord Jesus Christ, giving praise unto our great High Priest, who is high in the heavens. We'll not be judged for our sin, because He paid for our sin. And that produces a life of wanting to serve God. The Apostle Paul says, the love of Christ constraineth us. That's what moves us, doesn't it? The love of our great High Priest. Now we know Aaron has already failed as a high priest, hasn't he? But our great High Priest has never failed. He's pure, He's holy, He's everything. As the children sang this morning, as they considered the pearl of greatest price. Christ is the pearl of greatest price, isn't He? Peter says, to them that believe, He is precious. How precious is Christ to you? You see, you cannot begin to understand the preciousness of Christ until you see the holiness of God. I want to impress upon my hearers this morning the holiness of God. Do we realize that all that God is teaching us in all of this is that He is holy? We cannot swan into His presence as we want. We are sinners. And every time we pray, we must come through the Lord Jesus. We must ask in His name. We must pray in His name. Everything is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that needs to be impressed upon us. That's the great point, isn't it? Anything else is pride. Without Christ. You see, God doesn't deal with humanity, with this whole world apart from Christ. Through all what we call the theophanies, in the Old Testament, the appearing, the angel of the Lord that wrestled with Jacob, the angel of the Lord that appeared before Manoah, Samson's parents. It was Christ that was appearing. He is Jacob's ladder. He's everything. Christ expounded all these things in the Old Testament concerning himself. And all of this is telling us that we need him. And we need to serve him. And he has appointed the way that we should serve him. That there is a ministry here. We won't go into all these details of the tithes and the offerings, but you can see very clearly that God has established the need for a support of a ministry that will reverence the office of the high priest. And this priestly office, not Aaron, but Christ. The Israelites, they were to give of their tithes. And we know what the tithe is because we read there the tenth of the tithe. It's a tenth. And so as we earn, as we live in this world, we give the Lord a tenth of our earnings. I've preached enough times, I think, on tithing and offering. We are to give the Lord of our substance. And all that we earn, we are to give to him. We are to honor him. And so as we do, we serve the Lord, don't we? We honor him with the substance of our being, with our time, with our gifts and everything. And we thus serve the Lord. But ultimately, we are, as I said earlier, we are kings and priests forever through him that loved us. And we're not to live for these things. We are to live as the Levites who will have the Lord as their inheritance, an everlasting inheritance. What a blessing it is to have the Lord. What a blessing it is to be under Christ, to know that we won't be judged for our sins. What a blessing it is to be warned. You know, many people will not be warned, will they? People will not be warned of that great day of judgment. They don't want to hear it. We warn them, we tell them that there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Yet they ignore it. Well, friends, we must be warned. The people were a dying people. Let's close with that. We perish, we die. Yes, but there's a high priest who gives an offering for sin. And that is our Lord Jesus. And that's our hope, isn't it? You know, the Apostle Paul speaks of the ministry as a warfare. He says this, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Whoso feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, it is written, he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. The Apostle Paul is making very clear there that we should support those who are in the ministry because we preach Christ, who is the great high priest. We spend our time, our hours, preparing messages and ministering, not only here, but in the town and various other places. We should support through this work for the glory of Christ. One Puritan said, scandalous maintenance makes scandalous ministers. May the Lord help us. We don't want to preach about tithes today. I think you know all these truths, or at least you ought to. These things ought to be impressed upon us. It's all for Christ, isn't it? It's all for his glory, the honor of his name, and that we might publish abroad the great need of our high priest and savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner friend, I would close with this today. Do you know this high priest? You may be like the people of Israel saying, we all die, we all perish. We can't approach heaven. Yes, that's all true. But there is one great high priest that you need to seek today. Seek him while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near. His name is not Aaron, but his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you must seek with all your heart. God's people know him and they love him as their great high priest. It's my prayer that you might know him and seek him now, before you do die and you face that second death, which will be an awful one. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.